Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is made possible by our sponsors, CSU Ram Zone, powered by the CSU Bookstore, a great sponsor of our Pick'em and Bracket Contest all year long, Ginger and Baker, which is our favorite restaurant on the planet, and of course, our title sponsor of this podcast, Peterson Toyota. It's 2024, and you may be thinking this is the year for a new car. Well, let me introduce you to the all-new 2024 Land Cruiser with no fuss, no muss, just the way you remember it, with prices starting in the mid-$50,000 range. Land Cruiser brings back the thrill and excitement of exploring unfamiliar terrain with its remarkable capabilities and legendary reliability, while paying homage to its historic roots of over 65 years. Peterson Toyota can hook you up with a test drive. They're your local Toyota dealer serving Fort Collins, Loveland, Windsor, and Tinmouth. They've been doing so for more than 50 years. Not only will you find the latest Toyota models, you'll also find friendly and accommodating staff eager to assist you. You'll also receive first-class attention, whether it be for a service appointment, help picking out the right part for your Toyota, or test driving a new or pre-owned vehicle. Whatever you're looking for, Peterson's expert staff will help you find the one that's right for you, all at competitive pricing and financing. Peterson strives to be the best in everything they do, and they will take care of you. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, please give Peterson Toyota first shot at your business. Thanks. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Ram Nation Radio. I'm Joel Cantalamessa with my two cohorts, Michael Rowe, Steve Ivey. Emergency bitch session. We needed some therapy here, so rounded up the crew so we could figure out what the heck is going on with our beloved Ram basketball team. It's been a rough first road trip of the season, Mountain West road trip. A disappointing loss at Utah State the other night, and then last night, Tuesday night, in Boise, a tough 65-58 loss. Season high 16 turnovers was a big difference in the game, obviously. Rams played their worst half by far of the season, 21 points in the first half, 10 turnovers in that half, shot just 43%. And the defense gave you a shot, held Boise State to 39% shooting. But, outside of that, just didn't get enough big play from your stars, didn't get enough from your bench. Too much fouling and not enough, to me, it seemed like not enough getting to the rim and drawing fouls. So let's start, throw it out there to you, both of you boys. What went wrong last night?
I'll start. I think the turnover thing was absolute killer. The first half, and let's be honest, Isaiah played his worst game of the year. That's not a guy that you expect to see play like that. And, if you listen to – I did an emergency podcast on my thing this morning. His worst games in his career in terms of turnovers have come against Boise State. He's had 8 turnover games, 7 turnover games. This was 3 years ago when he was young and he was playing a little too fast sometimes. And I think he did kind of the same thing last night. It's not what we're used to seeing out of him. He usually plays fast, but not usually makes very good decisions playing fast. I don't think there was a lot of good decision-making going on. So it started with the turnovers. Defensively, they were fine. They were holding Boise State down, but turnovers, quick shots. The perfect example to me came right at the end of the first half when there was like 38 seconds left and CSU had the ball. And for some reason, Neek Clifford decided they were going to try and go 2-for-1 and throw up a horrible shot 6 seconds into the shot clock. And there's no way you're going to get a 2-for-1 starting with 38 seconds. It was just something they needed to work the ball and get a good shot. They were fortunate they didn't give up a basket to Boise. They played a really good last possession. But just hurried offense, turnovers, and then it pretty much continued into the second half. It was the most frantic, unclean, unintelligent game that this team has played this year.
I mean, I think you nailed it. They struggled, and man, I don't know if he was up in Jokic from Sunday and decided, you know what, I'm going to try to get the team involved. But he would drive the lane, and he looked like he'd have that shot, and then he would just try a snap pass out that would kept getting stolen. And I want to say that happened like 5 or 6 times in that first half. And I get it. You want to try to get your teammates involved. You want to try to get it going, but he was killing the team. And there's another stretch, just like the Utah State game, when we didn't have any scorers on the floor. And, you know, it didn't hurt us as much yesterday in that first half. We actually kind of extended the lead because of Josiah Strong on that run. But it's hard when you don't have somebody that you know that can put the ball in the basket and you know, it killed us against Utah State when we had the 10-point lead and they came back within 4 in the first half. And like I said, Josiah Strong was able to do it yesterday. You can't have your 2 most important people in the program, your head coach and your floor general, have bad games, and that happened yesterday. There's a couple times I thought Nico was just off on his rotations. Steve, I know we talked about one thing late in the game, kind of worrying about something else and letting something else slide in that. And then Zay's performance, it just was very un-Isaiah-like, and it killed us. But again, we just played our worst 2 games. We almost won them both. They were literally our 2, by far, the 2 worst games that we have played this season. And we had a shot to win it at the end. And I'm not too upset. Obviously, I wanted to win those games. I'm not too worried. I think there's way too many people that are way too upset. There's nothing wrong with being mad. But I'm still confident in what this team's going to do this year. And Steve, you put out our metrics. They actually went up in some. 2 losses, and we've moved up somehow. Yeah. And I still think we'll be ranked next week. I think we'll probably be coming in around 23rd, 24th, 25th. Because we're a good team. The stuff that happened in non-conference is because we're a good team. We got dealt a hard hand to start Mountain West play, and I think people are ignoring both those.
You guys both brought up Zay, and I think what's surprising to me is when you hear the superlatives about Zay and what we all feel about Zay is it's like one of the smartest basketball players you've ever seen. But there's in the last 2 or 3 games, there's been some things I'm like, Zay, what are you doing, man? Like just like Mike, you said, turning down that floater that he makes 90% of the time from 15 feet out, or you know, to kick it out instead. Last night there was a play I think he could have dumped off to, I don't remember if it was Pat or Neek for a dunk, and instead he kicks it out to Joe Palmer, who bricked. And then you go back to like the New Mexico game. Remember where it was like just under 2 minutes left? I think we had an 8 or 9 point lead, and he launches up a 3 with 30 seconds on the shot clock. I'm like, that is very un-Zay-like. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's trying to do too much, if he's feeling pressure about trying to put his stamp on some of these games, or what, I just don't know. But it was a surprising performance from Zay for sure. There was a point in the game where CSU pulled within 4. I think it was 41-37. Timeout. Nico takes Zay out, puts in Kyan Evans, and really bad turnover right off the bat from Kyan. And I think it was a 1 of like 2 or 3 in that next minute that we had. And they go on a 9-0 run, and they immediately had to put Zay back in. It was a 13-point deficit all of a sudden. You know, I know you got to get Zay some spells here and there. But in general, You've seen some discussion about this on the message boards and in social media. Does there need to be some shortening of the bench at all at this point, Steve, Mike?
You know, let me speak to that, because it's such a tricky question. It's such Monday morning quarterbacking when you look at what happened. You know, sometimes you got to pull the strings, and sometimes you're lucky and you pull the strings the right way, and sometimes they don't go right. Kyan has played very well in a substitute's role, but maybe last night was just a little too much. You got to figure, being in front of 12,000 people against a team and a Boise State team who's good, who hasn't lost at home, and you know, they're 21 game winning streak, the longest in the nation. And you go, maybe it's a tough spot, and maybe it wasn't a smart decision to put Kyan in for that spell. I'm sure he wanted to keep him in for 3 or 4 minutes, and he was only in for a minute. Next thing you know, the game got away. I sent a text to you guys that we just lost the game, and we all kind of knew that. You go immediately, you had cut the lead to one. You're kind of creeping around. The next thing you know, in a minute, the lead is the deficit is 9 points. But you know, in terms of shortening the bench, you're always trading off something else, and that's the development of players that you might need, and that's very much where, you know, Nico's head is at. This is a program where he's going to play people and develop them. And ask yourself this: where would the season go if Isaiah Stevens got injured for three and had to sit out 3 games? What do we do at point guard? And if you're not giving a guy like Kyan Evans minutes right now, you're in a tough place. And so, you know, the shortening of the bench, it might be a little bit too early, but you know, again, it's I would have done a little differently. I think I would have stayed with Zay for all every minute of the second half. Boise plays their starters predominantly the entire half. There's no reason why we shouldn't have matched up with them, but that's Monday morning quarterbacking.
Exactly. If we still have 15 games left in conference play, we got to have fresh legs at the end of the year. We don't want to burn through Zeke and Clifford and Cartier now, because the games at the end are what's going to matter, not the first 3 games of your conference season. But, man, it was those backups that blew it open against Creighton. It was the backups that blew it open against that had that huge run against CU. It was the backups that blew it open against New Mexico. So this all of a sudden, like 9 days later or 7 days later, oh, we got to shorten up the bench. No, we don't. We don't. Again, I think that we need to make smarter choices on our rotations. You know, I understand. I love KC. Kind of was surprised that Tavy wasn't getting in there, especially since he has played in front of that crowd before, especially that he has had experience 2 games against Boise, against this pretty much the same backcourt that they had last year. But yeah, there's no need to shorten up the bench right now. I don't see it. And you're right. You know, Steve, you and I talked about it. Was it after the New Mexico game, or was it about how much fun those guys are going to be watching next year? And that starts now. I mean, it really does. Nico's building a program. It's not – he's not putting everything into this year. He's building a program, and he's going to win this year, and he wants to win next year. And shortening up the bench too much, that's not going to happen next year.
Yep, right on, Mikey.
Are there changes in the rotation that you feel strongly about that you would make? You mentioned Tavy, Mike, and Steve. I know in our private conversations, that's a guy that you'd like to see get more minutes. Anything that you would do differently than what Nico had going last night?
You know, the one thing that I would point to, Joel, is, you know, we've kind of had to survive the last how many games ever since November with Jalen Lake with a broken finger and Josiah Strong with a broken wrist. And yes, they're playing, but they're not, neither one of them is back fully fit. You know, they're playing their way back into it. Josiah still wears a brace on his left wrist. But if you go back to when we were clicking and you go back to the lineup that was working, it was Josiah in the starting lineup and Jalen coming off the bench and both playing, you know, 25 to 30 minutes. They're both getting minutes, but I think we saw yesterday, Josiah did a great job. He was one of, I thought he and Neek were probably our two best players. I think I would, if I were Nico, depending on, and we don't know the health situation, but I got to think we're ready to see Josiah Strong back in the starting lineup and Jalen Lake moving back as that first guy off the bench and still getting starters minutes. But getting back to Tavy versus Kyan, you know, Tavy has a lot more experience from last year. And the only reason Tavy was behind this year was because of injury and because of illness. And, you know, in terms of performance, I think Tavy's probably had a little more impact than Kyan the last few games. Certainly in the New Mexico game, Kyan had a good game against New Mexico, but Tavy was fantastic. Didn't score a lot, but boy, he was all over the place defensively, and he really made a difference against New Mexico. And maybe we're looking at Tavy being the first guy in to give Isaiah a blow, and then Casey getting some minutes in the first half. I don't know, but I think the Strong coming back into the starting lineup is going to be something to look for as the as we get into next week.
Exactly. I mean, again, we talked. Neek and Josiah were our best players yesterday. I thought Josiah looked really good, and if he's not 100% healthy to start, I go with Tavy at the two, and then let Lake and Strong come in as the sixth and seventh player. I honestly think that Tavy moved ahead. I mean, love Joe, and he brings that excitement and that energy in. But I think Tavy's been doing a lot more for this club about the last five or six games. And again, remember that at the end of our non-conference, Tavy started. He was getting those
losing Mike. We're
Did
losing
you lose
a little
me
bit
on that.
A little bit. A little bit. You turn into like a robot there for a second.
BFN.
But we got most of it. Yeah, like BFN. That's right. Well, let me shift gears here. I don't want to get into pinpointing all the individuals that are struggling right now, but I do want to ask you your thoughts on Joel Scott, who was really, really good early season. And it's still early season. Well, we're not even halfway through. We're just about halfway through. But he struggled the last two, 3 weeks. Do you – just an issue where you let him play through that, figure it out? Do you at some point reduce minutes? Or how do you solve that?
From my perspective, Joel, I think you need to just play it out. Excuse me. I think we've seen the good side of what Joel brings, and he can certainly play against top teams. He played very well against Washington, very well against CU, very well against Creighton. So you're not talking about a guy that just built up stats against crummy teams. He's been fine, and I see this team is dependent on him. You may call it a little bit of slippage in the last few games, and certainly they don't look as smooth and his numbers aren't as good, but he battles. He didn't have a great game offensively yesterday, but he had 7 rebounds and he had a lot of the things stuff to do trying to guard Tyson Degenhart. And don't forget, Tyson Degenhart's a first team All Mountain West player, and Degenhart didn't reach his normal numbers yesterday. He didn't get a lot of shots off against Joel. So, you know, he definitely contributes, but if for CSU to achieve what they really want to achieve, he definitely needs to switch on a little more.
And I think he's in his own head right now, offensively. Like, again, I mean, he got those rebounds, playing pretty good defense, and I think he's just inside his own head, missing some bunnies that he knows that he can make. And again, you go back and you talk about the Washington game. I mean, it was his dunk that finished it off. You know, he can get up, and for whatever reason, he just seems like he's hesitant, like he doesn't want to miss, and then he puts a layup short or he goes up too strong and he bounces it off. You got to let him play through it. although I do love what we're seeing from Mimba, he's just got to get healthy and again, not pick up freshman fouls or bull crap moving screens, which he's got called for the last two games.
That was Leon's call last night. That wasn't the ref's call.
You talked him into it, huh?
Yeah. During a timeout, Leon was talking and demonstrating what Mbemba does when he sets screens. 10 minutes later, they call a moving screen on him, and it was right in front of Leon. So it was called by Rice 10 minutes earlier, but that's neither here nor there. Getting back to Joel, you know, one of the things, if you notice, Joel's a 40%+ shooter from 3-point range. Historically, he's fallen off. He started out shooting the ball well, and he looks a little unwilling right now to shoot that 3-pointer. And it's important that he get the confidence and start firing that thing. He hit the big one that was the dagger against Washington. He is not really shooting the three very well. He hasn't made one in about a month. He's been had a lot of 0-for-1, 0-for-2 games. But he's got to get confident. He's got to develop it in his head that he's got to shoot that shot. You saw how that freshman shot for Boise State yesterday. He wasn't afraid to shoot 3-pointers. That kid's a 33% shooter coming into the game. That's what won the game for Boise. You got to be confident that you can make the shot. So he needs to develop it.
Same from the free throw line too. Like beginning of the year, I mean, in some of those games that started getting tighter, he was knocking down the shots when they were fouling him, when they were putting him on the line. And I mean, we all saw what happened against Utah State. I mean, he struggled as a freaking man. And then last night he gets fouled early and misses. And you, like I said, he's in his own head right now, and yep. He'll get out. He'll get out of it.
Yeah, I'm not. He's a quality player. He's a really, really important player to this team, and he's a quality player. You know, speaking of the free throws, the last two games, he's 3-for-8. He's a 70 to 75% career shooter, but he's shooting in different environments. It's a little tougher, and it's a little new for him to play in front of 12,000 people. He'll get better. He'll come around. I'm not worried about Joel at all. Just like I'm not worried about Joe Palmer. Joe was 0-for-4 yesterday. Those were wide open looks, and he didn't make them. But he's a great shooter. He's helped us win games. He's going to continue to be a dynamite player off the bench. You know, I had a little discussion. There's a guy that does a podcast named Tom Moser, and Tom. He does a Mountain West podcast, and I sent a text to him yesterday about the kid from Boise going 3-for-4 and Palmer going 0-for-4. You switch that around, the game's different. And what the guy fired back, and he's a coach. He's coached at the D3 level, and he said that's what happens to role players. At home, they make shots. On the road, they miss shots. Mm-hmm. That's what happened yesterday. It'll be different when we get home.
All right, let me tell you about Ginger and Baker. Stop in for an amazing dinner at The Cache, where you can enjoy fine steaks, chops, good whiskey, or select from their award-winning wine list. And the cafe restaurant just dropped their winter menu a couple weeks ago. Come on in for some of Chef Ryan's comfort food done right. Some of the highlights include tiramisu French toast, sloppy Joe egg rolls, pumpkin apple bisque, bison chili, quinoa stuffed squash, blackened salmon, and Ginger and Baker's classic pot pie roast, made with Wagyu beef. Ginger Baker also features a coffee shop, event spaces, a market, and a teaching kitchen, the latter of which has great events all month long, but they sell out quick, so you got to get in early. I mean, listen to some of these upcoming classes they have next week: pasta from scratch, winter in Paris, Italian countryside cooking, the perfect steak, Asian street food, and much more. Check out gingerandbaker.com/calendar for a full list of classes and other events. This place is amazing, guys. Support our friend Ginger Graham. Treat yourself to a world-class experience at our favorite place, Ginger and Baker.
Why so few minutes for Mbemba? I think he's in the last three games went 7 minutes, 10 minutes, and 11 minutes. Is it – well, I know one of those games is a little bit of foul trouble. Is he not fully healthy? Are they just not trusting the freshman to get key time here, or – are you surprised with his lack of minutes?
I think the fouls have been the issue. They're certainly the issue against Utah State. He picked up three fouls in virtually 3 minutes of floor time. Had to come out of the game. And that, you know, once you get to three fouls, you got to sit for a while. You're useless with three fouls. You know, you got really only got one more to give, and you got to still be able to play aggressively. So I think it's been foul issues. And like Mikey said, the moving screens, they got to stop. Everybody sets them. Everybody sets moving screens. They call them on freshmen. They don't call them on seniors. And he's got to be a little cleaner in terms of his setting of screens. He's a big body. He knocks people around. So he's got to play a little cleaner and play a little better defensively in the paint as well, and not foul as much. He's played fine. I'd love to see him get, you know, 15 minutes a game for sure. But he's not going to get that until he stops fouling.
Yeah, you know, I mean, exactly. Degenhart just destroyed Zay on a pick, nothing called. And Mimba gets ran through, and he picks up the moving screen. You're right. I mean, it gets called on freshmen. It doesn't get called on 12th-year seniors.
Well, last two games, Utah State. In the Utah State game, they had 23 foul shots to our 11. It was 15 fouls to 21 fouls. Boise State, 23 foul shots to our 10. The foul count was 12 to 17. So, you know, first, is this partly on CSU for not doing a better job of defending without fouling, and also for not, on the other end of the ball or at the court, attacking the rim enough? And Steve, particularly for you, you shared some interesting data on Monday in your podcast on why taking fewer free throw attempts has other detrimental effects in a game. Would love to have you kind of expand on that a little bit for anyone who did not hear your podcast. But yeah, can you talk to both of those things?
Yeah, it has to do with, you know, it's really the importance of free throw attempts. So makes are important. You really want to make your free throws. And, you know, the shooting at Utah State was definitely subpar when Zay shoots 1 for 3, Nico for 1, and I think Cartier was 1 for 3 as well. I mean, when those guys are 80 to 90% shooters shoot 2 for 7, they gave up 5 points at the free throw line. That was the difference in the game. But getting to the point I made, it's easier to set your defense when you're shooting free throws. And so there's a tremendous effect, not just on your offense and your ability to score, but your ability to prevent the other team from scoring. Because usually when you're making free throws, even when you're missing them, you've got a few guys back already. The other team isn't going to score in transition off of a made free throw or a missed free throw. You've got guys back, and so you can set your defense. So the quality of the defense is much more efficient. Turns out CSU's defense is really, 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 really gains a lot when they get to the free throw line. So, in fact, as much as it's like a 20% efficiency gain when they're shooting free throws. So that was the point I was making. It's important you get to the line. It's important you make the free throws as well. Utah State did both, and that was a lot of the difference in the game against Utah State. They bullied us in the paint. We fouled them. We didn't defend as well as we needed to. And they made free throws. They outshot us. They made 20 to our 4. Yesterday was a little different. The Boise State game, there were a lot of made free throws at the end. There were like 8 made free throws and a lot of fouling done in the last 2 minutes. And so the disparity wasn't as dramatic. We fouled them a little bit in the paint, but that's not, you know, the game yesterday. We outscored Boise in the paint. We did a good job in the paint. We did a good job defensively, holding them to 38 or 39% shooting for the entire game. We played well enough defensively. We didn't get to the line as much as we needed to. That would have helped, but ultimately it was our throwing the ball away and then missing wide open shots that beat us yesterday. A little less to do than the free throws.
Well, defense travels, but you still got to be able to put the ball in the ocean. So it is encouraging that we're still playing good defense, but man, just too many turnovers and too many missed chippies. And not just chippies, but a lot of missed threes last night as well. You can usually count on Nico to make really good adjustments in the second half. I mean, it's like almost every game I'm putting a second half bet on CSU because we play so well in the second half for that very reason. So, but last two games has not necessarily been the case. We haven't had that magic touch. why have we not been as good in the second halves? Is it just a case of going on the road in a tough environment and getting outplayed?
I think it's as simple as that, Joel. They need to play better. I don't think we did anything wrong last night in terms of any adjustments they might have made. They played well enough defensively to win the game. Usually we make adjustments defensively. Offensively, they didn't turn the ball over as much in the second half, but I think they probably played just a wee bit smarter. But they still couldn't make a shot. And, you know, what do you do? What adjustment can you make at halftime that causes a guy to make a three-pointer that's wide open? You know, that was ultimately part of that's on the players. They got to make shots. They call it basketball because you're meant to put the ball in the basket. That's kind of the objective of the game. And ultimately, it's a very simple game. You put it in the basket, you keep the other team from scoring, putting the ball in the basket. And it was as simple as that, I think, last night. Boise came out. They out-toughed us. I told you I did a little bit of an emergency podcast today. There was one thing I didn't like yesterday, and I thought it was I wasn't calling the player out, but I used it as an example. Jalen Lake yesterday, we were probably going to lose the game. I think we were down six with like 30, 25 seconds to go or whatever it was, and we sent their point guard, who's a terrible free throw shooter, to the free throw line, and he had two free throws, Roddy Anderson. He missed the first, and he missed the second. And it was a simple rebound. All Jalen had to do was put his butt on Max Rice, and the ball would have fallen right to him. He didn't box out. The ball must have bounced twice, and Max Rice got the ball, and Jalen had to foul him right away. And it was like, it was lazy. It was a soft play. And I've seen a few plays like that where guys go into double teams defensively, where they don't go in with the intent to really be tough on the double team. They go through the motions, and you got to follow through on that double team and get real fierce, real physical, high hands, really crowd into the guy's space, and you can't back off. And I saw a little bit of that in both these games. And so I'm sure the coaches will show them the film, and they're going to go, what the hell is this? Because you're too good to do this. That's not the play a winning team would make. Again, I'm not calling out Jalen because other guys did it. It was the one that was the most memorable because it was the last one I saw last night.
Yep. And on that play, Cartier came in, between the first and second shot and pointed him out to go to that block for that reason right there, because he could box out Rice. And yeah, it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Well, now behind the eight ball for a conference title, still obviously early, three games in, but you're 1-2. You still have road trips to Nevada, San Diego State, New Mex, UNLV. I mean, you'd be lucky to win one of those four, much less any more than that. Even if you do that, and you go 1-1-3, you're five losses in league play, and that's probably right at or maybe even over the cut line for being in contention for the title. I mean, it's pretty much puts a lot of pressure on you to win basically every other game on your schedule just to stay in the hunt. And it's strange because it's not like these two losses are shocking. Both are very tough places to play. Historically, it's hard to win at both of the places we just went to. But I think for me, it's the fact that we just didn't look the same part that we had earlier in the season. That to play so poorly was very disappointing. I know that people are enamored with the metrics after every game. Well, our metrics didn't drop, and hey, we'll still be ranked. And I get it, because it's kind of cool. It's been nice to be in the headlines and to see your scores on the ticker because you're part of the top 25, right? But I personally would love a league title. I've been a fan for 30-plus years, never seen one, not counting the three-game run and the 2003 tourney that I know you remember very well, Steve. But I think three games into the conference play, I'm feeling a dagger already, and it's bothering me. Are you panicked like me? Sounds like you guys are more level-headed than I am.
Yeah, Joel, I'm not panicked at all. You know, it's kind of the luck of the draw that CSU opened with three of the top teams. You know, you're talking about three if you looked at the KenPom rankings, the average KenPom ranking is 40. You're looking at two quad one and one quad two games. These are all three high level games. And it's just the luck of the draw. If you look at who teams like San Diego State have played, they opened with Fresno. They got UNLV at home and they got San Jose State on the road. Average net of those three teams is like 160. So we got the bad part of the draw. Now, am I panicked? Am I happy? No, because it would have been nice to get one of those games. The league title is a big goal of this team. I think as fans, we really want to see a league title, but I think you're looking at, you know, so we had Boise had an extra day of rest against us. There's all kinds of little factors that go into these things. We get a bye now and it's time for the team to sharpen their knives, get healthy, work on themselves, and then start preparing for Air Force and UNLV next week. And I think we'll see the turnaround next week. And I think you're going to see a good run of games over the next 7 or 8 games. I think you have a good chance to see 7-1 over the next 8 games if CSU starts playing to their potential, which I think they will. I'm very confident right now that they're going to get it back, Joel. This team has too much experience, too many good players, too much maturity and too much intelligence. Everybody's disappointed, but they lost these two games. They didn't get one of them or both of them. But the bottom line is there's still a lot of season to go, and I'm feeling really, really good about them.
You're exactly right. Here's the thing. Like, obviously, we wanted to win those games. Who doesn't want to win all their games? We didn't. We lost. You know what? If someone mentions Marquette, like, hey, do you think Marquette's a good team? Yes, they're a great team. What? You know what their record is in the Big East right now? 2-2. They lost two games on the road, two games at home. You know what Purdue, the number one ranked team, what their record is in the Big Ten right now? 2-2. They lost their two games on the road, two games at home. They lost to Northwestern and Nebraska. Those are the teams that they've lost to. We lost to two teams in very tough environments, in games where we didn't play well, and we still had the shot to win. People need to relax. You're not giving CSU enough credit. You're not giving the Mountain West enough credit. This is a legit basketball league. Other than Air Force, every team in this conference can win at home. San Diego State almost lost to San Jose State last night at San Jose State. This is a 3-point game, and it was a tight battle from start to finish. And it's we ignore so much CSU people saying, well, CSU doing CSU things. No, like, we got a good team, and it is not even close to time to push the panic button. We got the best player in the league. We got a great coach in Medved. They didn't have the best road trip. We're fine.
Yeah. Hey, Mikey, playing on that point you made about Purdue, their two conference road losses in the Big Ten were to teams to Northwestern and Nebraska that are lower rated than Utah State and Boise State. We had two tougher games on the road we lost, and Purdue dropped a game to a team that was ranked, I think, right about the same as Boise State, Nebraska. Purdue lost by 16 last night. They weren't in it. And, you know, you want to know why Nebraska won? They made threes. It was as simple as that. Things happen. You make shots, you win games. And so I, you know, those were two tough games. And pointing to this, you know, the people don't realize how tough the Mountain West is. They compare it to, you know, it's like, well, it's not the SEC in football. Well, you know what? It's not as far away from the Big Ten in basketball as you think it is. It's a darn good conference with 7 really good teams this year. And we're going to have games like that. And we were competitive in those games. And so it happens. It's just one of those things.
Well, I appreciate you guys talking me off the ledge. When you calm down, take a deep breath, you realize that, look, Utah State's 15-1. It's always a difficult place to play for anybody to go in there and win. Boise's won at what, 22 straight home games, something like that.
Yep.
The conference is as tough as it can be. We obviously just lost to two of the top teams on the road, and on an encouraging note, the defense continues to bring in. I feel like there's a couple times that we didn't get the key stops that we needed to, but as a whole, I think start to finish in games, we play a good brand of defense, and that's going to be a key to excelling as we get deeper into conference play here. You got to defend in this league. So I think the offense will come back. I think we get back on track against Air Force. What is that, next Tuesday? So we have a little bit of time, a few days here to rest up, get ready for Air Force. That's just what the doctor ordered, to get back on track at home. Then you get UNLV the following Friday at home, which will be a good test. But those are two games you got to have before you go on the road again at Nevada and at rival Wyoming. So not a whole lot of rest for the weary in this league. But as the boys said, not time to panic. I know it was frustrating, but good to hash this out, and encourage you to go listen to Steve's emergency podcast from earlier today as well, as he is always enlightening. So, all right, fellas, well, I had to break away from my sales conference just to schedule this little call with you. I got to get back to it. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Mikey. And we'll see you next Tuesday, I hope.
See you on Tuesday.
You got it. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week. Go Rams. Out, finally got a call.